to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Friday. That's right, it's a Friday. Kind of a similar, I guess you could kind of call this an open phone Friday, but we are talking about a particular subject matter. And before I go back to the phones, Bill, I wanted to roll around to the subject matter of behavior and perceptions. And I've always wanted to do this with you. You being in the business that you're in, that us humans, we can display all kinds of behaviors, and some of it good, some of it not so good, some of it bad. But folks, we all perceive the universe, and we're looking at this universe behind our eyes. Okay, it's our perception of how things are, or how we think they are, or whatever. So we'll get into that conversation also. I want to go to Fred in Pennsylvania. Hello, Fred.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Do you want me to go into perceptions, or do you want me to stick to
stick to the original financial reason why you called?
Okay.
We'll start there. Okay.
All right. I came up with, I know this is going to be too many, but I came up with a quick 12 Wall Street-type scams. But just to focus on the major ones, did you know that foreigners don't pay any tax on Treasury securities? Americans have to. And that is important when you're talking big bucks that are put into Treasury securities. And you got so many other things. You got hedge funds, closed funds, you have the dividend exclusion for corporations where you only had to pay a very small tax if you had that safe stock, I forget what it's called, the stock that pays the interest.
Okay,
stock options is another one. Short sales, if you're a little guy, you can't get into the international market. You can't get into China. If you're big, you get into China with a silver platter. It's just so many things. Public-private partnerships with the land confiscation. Parks are being seized. In Philadelphia, there's a scam where federal money, hundreds of millions of dollars, is going to develop parks to make them into a shopping center, which wasn't what they had told people.
Exactly, exactly.
And then people owned that. That was a park that everyone in the city owned.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the questions, by the way, I had up here in beautiful Round Rock, Texas, is, you know, you pay these property taxes, and you pay city taxes, and you pay that tax and this tax. Well, you pay into infrastructure. They want to build a recreation center or whatever the case may be. If you move out of the city, well, then you've given up, I guess, your right for fair use of that facility that you paid for. But when you move out of town, do they give you your share back?
No.
That's right.
There's no end to it. I mean, what are we going to prioritize on? I'd say the gold standard. Maybe we could go silver, gold, and then go to pure gold
within
5 years. But or
Bill, you and I have never talked about this, but my simple solution was to this, that to invent greenbacks, just like John F. Kennedy did with the United States notes. The Treasury was ordered to print these notes, and the government was going to lend it out at zero interest. I say that we can create another fiat currency to retire the fiat currency debt that we have right now. And then after we do away with that cumbersome little thing, well, let's retire that debt money with the debt money.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, we will after the break. Okay. But you stopped me. I was going to finish my point. Now I can't. Thank you very much. Just kidding. We'll be right back. Hold on, Fred.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, we're back. Fred in Pennsylvania, what was your point before we went to break there?
No, I didn't have a point. I just it sounds extremely interesting when you talk about the system. Is it different from barter?
Which system are we talking about?
The retiring retiring our
Well, no. In actuality, if you look what John F. Kennedy did, I think it was back in 63. And what he did was he ordered the United States Treasury to print United States notes. And that was to be loaned out by the government to people, businesses, you know, consumers, people, customers, whatever, however you want to designate them, that they were able to borrow that money and then pay it back at zero interest. So in other words, if you borrowed money and you went out and bought a house for $100,000, that's what you would pay back instead of the $250,000, $300,000 or plus. So my point was that if we're $71 trillion in debt or $50 trillion, whatever the figure is, that we just print up a bunch of, it would be still fiat currency, not backed by anything. We print this stuff up, put it on ships, ship it over to the IMF, and say, okay, here's your money. You're paid in full. Once we get rid of that debt, so you can never retire the debt that we owe with the debt or the monetary fiat system we have right now. You can't retire a debt with a debt currency. So what we do is just print up a bunch of this, ship it off to them, and say, there you go. Now we're even, Steven. Then we go back to a gold and silver currency-backed currency. And that would be stable until somebody else got in there and screwed around with it.
Well, I think that could work.
Works for me.
I think it could work as long as you had a firm figure on what the debt actually is.
And that is something that we don't really have a firm grasp on because, well, the Federal Reserve is never audited. You know, the government is real chintzy about the information that they want to put forth as to how much debt has actually been accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
So we could probably pick up the phone and call the IMF and say, excuse me, what does the United States government owe you? And we could probably get a fixed dollar amount from them and print up all that currency, or we could just write them up one nice big check. It wouldn't matter, but the point is to retire and get out from under that and then go back to a stable commodity or silver and gold-based currency.
Well, the Constitution does say that there is an obligation to pay legitimate debts, but this has gone into such an illegitimate realm that we're swimming in the ocean with 100-pound weight on our toes.
Fred, we got to come up with a whole new definition for illegitimate as far as this is concerned.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. Yeah. Bill, what do you think of my grand plan there?
Well, I think it's a good way of getting rid of the Federal Reserve, but I think we could just tell them to kiss off and we're not going to pay anything because the problem with what Kennedy was going to do was, and your recommendation is that the Constitution does not authorize the government to print any kind of paper money or to emit any kind of bills of credit.
Well, we didn't exactly by the Constitution authorize the
1930s. That's why. So the whole thing is illegal.
Exactly.
They can't hand over to a private cartel of bankers a power that they're not authorized to have.
Right.
So the whole thing, you know, I mean, the government did not authorize our government to print paper currency at all. And it didn't even authorize us to have a gold and silver backed currency. It authorized the government to establish mints to coin the people's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's our money, gold and silver coin. Now, they can't do anything with paper. They can't even borrow paper. All they can borrow, the power of the government is the power, they have the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. So the only thing that the government can borrow is gold and silver coin. Now, I'd like to know, when was the last time they borrowed gold and silver coin? And I'd like to know if they ever paid it back. And I'd like to know who in the heck would lend our government gold and silver coin, knowing they're never going to get it back.
Geez.
So the government would be out of business, basically. They would have to go back to their constitutional limitations. And, you know, they're just not going to do that to themselves some sort of a major.
And you just hit on another point there, because we have a fiscally irresponsible government. I think that's putting it mildly. So if you had a government and our currency was based on gold and silver, well, then these big fat lines of credit would not be available to the government. Ergo, they couldn't run up these massive debts.
Ergo, there goes the welfare warfare state.
There you go.
Ergo, that way we pay for things in gold and silver, and we own them, and they can't tax them. They can't tax property. Then you go back to allodial property, where the government has no claim on it at all, and you don't pay property taxes because you settled the debt. See, right now we never, ever, ever pay our debts. What we do is we discharge the legal obligation, so the debt always exists. What legal tender says is that because I cannot pay my debts at law, because the government stole my gold and silver, I don't have to pay them at law, and you can't sue me for giving you worthless paper in place of paying my debt. That's all legal tender says. You can't sue me for not paying my debts.
What?
And you have to take that worthless toilet paper that we call money.
Bill, there have been scams, and then there have been scams.
This is the best ever.
I'm telling you.
Ever.
I am sitting here, and I'm thinking about this. This was quite ingenious.
Well, you talk. It is so ingenious, and it is so evil. It's that's why people can't even grasp it. It is so ingenious and so evil and so out there that the people can't even grasp. I mean, there aren't even words to describe the absurdity of it.
Maybe Rush Limbaugh will take a new drug, and maybe it'll be laced with truth serum. Maybe Rush Limbaugh Monday will get up and start talking about fiat currency, and millions of people in this country will be woken up every night. And as Henry Ford predicted, if the people, only one in a million, gets this concept of the fiat money system, But maybe if millions of people got the idea, maybe Henry Ford's prediction would be right. There'd be revolution in the streets.
There would be, if they really understood the implications of what's being done to them. They just don't get it in full, and it just it takes too much to in fact, I've been talking to my business partner. I've been talking to her for 4 years about this, and I said something today, and she said, you know what? That connected for the first time. In 4 years, finally, what you just said connected, and now I'm understanding it better than I ever have before. So,
is it against the law to slip a Mickey to Rush Limbaugh and feed him true serum?
I think he is so far gone. He's you know, his whole shtick has been lying and propagandizing and reindoctrinating the people for so long. I don't think he can change colors. He's one of them. He's part of that evil Luciferian system that runs the world.
Jim in Canada. Good afternoon, Jim.
Just had a question for you. The United States was a lawful country when it was formed in 1776, right?
I would say, you know, yeah. I mean, what do you mean lawful country?
Well, what I mean is, like, how come the U.S. Constitution was formed roughly, I think it was, what, 13 years later?
Right, 1787. After? Well, we had the Articles of Confederation before that,
right.
Before the Constitution.
Like, before a lawful country can be formed, don't they have to have a constitution that's ratified by the
states? Well, I don't know. I don't know if a lawful country needs a constitution. I think it's up to that country if they even want to have a government. Suppose a bunch of people want to live some there and don't want to have a constitution or a government. What does that mean? Does that mean they're not a people or a government, a country?
Well, I mean, people basically have, what, signed away their rights in these feudal contracts and these...
What contract have I signed where I've signed away my rights?
Well, for instance, to do with a lot of social contracts people have signed.
Can you name one that you're talking about?
Well, the income tax up here in Canada would be the social insurance number, right, the SIN number.
Right.
All kinds of things, a driver's license, all these kinds of things that they use so much deceit to get you to buy into them.
But, you know, a lot of people sign those contracts because the thug government will send their thug minions out to put them in jail if they don't sign it. Is that a voluntary contract?
Well, the thing is, it's written in an internal corporate language designed for internal corporate readership. It's not English, so people can understand it. It's just like trying to go to a furniture store and, you know, you want to buy a nice couch and stuff, and they say, okay, well, here's the contract. You can pay over a year, and then you try to make sense of it. There's no way you can.
Yeah, the difference is the furniture store doesn't have the right, the authority or the power to initiate force against you. The government does. So if you don't do what they want, you know, they can. You're basically signing those contracts under coercion, not
right.
voluntary.
Right.
I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, they do that because they get you to become a crew member, deemed a crew member of the ship, with these social contracts that people engage in, unbeknown to them, because they cannot understand the internal corporate language.
Well, no.
What they understand, sir, is that if they don't sign it, they're going to go to jail. And they're going to have their property taken.
Well, that's not true, because nobody can force anybody into a contract, not even a person.
Okay, now I know a lot of people that have gone to jail for not having a driver license.
Well, because the thing is, they don't know the walk and they don't know the talk.
No, it's because the cop has been trained and he's told to take them to jail if they don't have a contract.
And hold on, caller, you said it earlier. About public policy, and it might serve here, Bill, to repeat what you said about that statutory or that public policy.
Right, those are policies. That's not law.
No, they're just private statutes, is what they are.
Right. And your compliance. Okay, here's your compliance factor. You are forced. Okay, you said that nobody can force you into one of these things if you don't want to go into them.
Nobody can force anybody into a contract. Nobody can take a gun and say, okay, you're going to sign for a driver's license. Nobody can force you into
any
contract.
Okay, that may be true, but they can make you pay the consequences for not doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That was going to be my point, yeah. Yeah, because that cop that is following public policy, you know, you're going to stand there and you're going to say to him, well, Mr. Officer, you know, I'm sorry I didn't use my turn signal or whatever you pulled me over for. No, I don't need a driver's license. My friend, you can stand there until you're blue in the face talking to this cop, but you're going to be in cuffs in the back of his car. You're going to be in the hoosegow that night, probably in front of the judge the following morning, and then you get to try to explain to that judge why you don't have a driver's license. We'll talk a little bit more about this, Jim. Hang on. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
We are back. My guest today, Dr. William Veit. Jim in Canada, what I was saying here, that, yeah, nobody can force you into any of these contracts, but the problem is that people don't understand driver's licenses as being contracts. They don't understand Social Security numbers as being contracts. They are simply being told. And you know, there's an old saying, buyer beware. Okay, the customer or the beneficiary of these contracts are not aware. They're just being told that they have to do this. You know, do we have a right of freedom of movement, of speech, of whatever? Well, of course we do. Is it practical in today's society not to have an automobile or a car, however you want to term this? Is it practical not to drive? Well, of course it's not. Not the way the cities and the metropolitan areas are laid out anymore. It is just not practical. But you are told, in order for you to do and conduct your business and to go out and do contracts and whatever you're going to do, that you've got to have this. And a lot of people do not understand that as being a binding contract. If they were told this up front, and at first off, if they were told, well, you don't really need a driver's license, but if you get a driver license here, well, then there's certain benefits to this contract that you're entering into. Now, what they are, I mean, they're few and far in between, But there is, okay, say police protection out there, traffic control. That's one of the benefits. So, you know, it's not explained to people in its proper context.
Well, John, you know, the caller's right in that the government cannot force you to sign the contract, but the government can punish you for not doing so. So,
well, yeah, the reason that the government can punish you is because you've gone ahead and, like here in Canada, in British Columbia, they've taken over the insurance, and it's now the provincial government, ICBC.
Right.
So what happens is you go and you get insurance under ICBC, and everything is, contracted through that, buying the vehicle and registering the vehicle. And once you, say, go buy a new car, and you even, let's say, get the MSO, the Manufacturer State of Origin Certificate, the bill of sale from the manufacturer.
Right.
And you don't get that. They send that on to the provincial government, and they put it on microfiche and shred it, and then they send you back in the mail.
A certificate of title.
You're now the registered owner.
Right,
that's
right.
The catch now. The thing is, you've got the insurance that, you know, you're using their vehicle now, so now you have to abide by their rules
right.
and principles.
You're right
and
in everything you say, but the problem is, I absolutely know of cases where people have the MCO, they have no insurance, they have not contracted, and they're constantly harassed and taken to jail. So
well, that's
if
the thing,
because
yeah.
the police don't know what the law is. They don't know what your rights are. They know what they've been trained to do. Okay? So if you are willing to put up with that fight every day you're out on the road and be subjected to that kind of harassment by armed thugs, then
right.
you don't sign the contract. You don't do those things. Now, if you want to avoid those things, so instead of spending your days in jail, you can go work for a living and feed your family, sometimes you just have to succumb to it. You just have to give in because you want to avoid the punishment they will inflict on you by force.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. And the thing is, like, even like with the government and all their own statutes and their acts and stuff like that, it's all written in an internal corporate language.
Totally.
And when you go through their acts and you go through their statutes and stuff and take the spin off of them, and one of the most confusing words they use in their acts and statutes is the word includes. And all that means is when you see that, you just pull it out and you put the word means in there, M-E-A-N-S. And then you get the total description of exactly what they're trying to convey to you. And it will shock you when you do that. It
right.
really will.
But, you know, these are just the means they've used to scam us. Once we see through it, as we have been, there's a lot of people that have seen through all this. Then it's like they don't even try to give you the appearance of fairness or law anymore. They just stomp on you anyway. Because the point is, they want you to learn that you don't have a right to your property. You don't have a right. You don't have any rights. You are their slave, and you'll do as they want you to do, or you'll pay the punishment for it. And
that's
the point.
Right. Well, we got to stand up and be brave, I guess, don't we?
I don't think Americans will. I hate to say it, but I've told some of these things to so many people, and it creates cognitive dissonance for them to accept these things. They would have to admit, as I did, that almost everything I've ever learned in the past is a lie. I've got to now change all of my mental paradigms because I was miseducated, I was propagandized, and I was I have to unlearn everything I ever learned. Now, some people cannot change their mental paradigms. They can't admit that they've been wrong all their lives. They can't admit, and then even if they did, then if they change their mental paradigms, now they're going to say, now that I know this was a scam, what am I going to do about it?
Ah, then you have to make a choice.
Right. And then it's like, well, I'm not going to start a fight with the government, or I'm not going to do this. So I'm just going to stick to this old paradigm I got, and I'm going to call you a nutcase.
And there's that fat, juicy justification we were talking about earlier. You know,
I think a good start would be to get everybody in America and Canada to throw out the television set take it to the garbage dump.
But you know, the way it really works out is you can't get anybody else to do anything. So what each of us has to decide is which battles am I willing to fight, which all of them or a few of them, which ones can I fight, what am I capable of doing to resist this tyranny, and then just go do it. And then if other people observe you doing it, maybe they'll catch on. But you can't wait around for other people to do it. You can't form a group. You just go do it on your own.
Yeah, I think this is something that's happening that's being allowed to happen from above. You know what I mean?
It could very well, Jim, I don't know about that. I think it's more along the lines that the good people that know what's going on are don't have the ability or the will to enforce and go against what they know is wrong. We'll be right back.
Most of them don't.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit solaywellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole wellness products. Created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Thank you, Jim in Canada. I appreciate it very much. Terry, Clarence, Roger, Mark, all you callers, hang on here a second. Bill, we started to touch upon this prior to the break, and you mentioned cognitive dissonance, that shearing away from, well, reality. Well, there's behaviors and perceptions, and I want to walk through this here for a few minutes. We're human beings. We perceive our world around us. We look and gaze at the stars at night. Based on our understanding and our knowledge of a particular subject, that's where our perceptions come from. But it's not just quite that simple, is it?
No, it really isn't. What we do, you know, we sense our environment. We, you know, we can sense whether it's hot or cold, and a lot of sensations we're not even aware of, but our body senses. And then at a little higher level of perception is how we perceive things. And there's a little bit more, when you're talking about our perceptions, you're talking a little bit more about an awareness. Then after we perceive what's going on in our environment, Now we interpret those perceptions, and that's when things can get screwed up. I mean, some people don't even perceive things accurately. I mean, literally a person can be hallucinating, and they can look at a bush and see a bunny rabbit, and so they're totally misperceiving something. Or people a lot of times perceive things very accurately, and then they misinterpret what's going on. They start to analyze what they perceived, and they might use faulty logic or faulty reasoning or faulty thinking, and all of a sudden their analysis of what they perceived goes haywire, and then they think they perceived something that they didn't. And so a lot of people actually knowingly or unknowingly distort reality. Some people, because they misperceive it or they misinterpret what they perceive, and then there are some people that, again, just because they, for personality reasons, they don't want to change their mental paradigms, they will hold that paradigm in their head, and even if objective reality is contradictory to that paradigm, they would rather distort reality and hold on to the paradigm.
Well, and I'll give you a classic example, and this personally happened to me just the other day. I was required by an attorney to locate a certain individual and an address. Well, I saw a write-up on this, and it's in their paradigm and their perception and their understanding that somehow I was being a stalker, that I was up to no good or whatever, and I was just simply doing what the attorney requested me to do, was get a physical address on somebody.
Right.
And there was no malice. There was
right.
no ill intent there.
Okay,
but
there's an example, John, where somebody perceived something accurately. They saw you there. Now, their interpretation went haywire because of their mental paradigm or their biases. I mean, we all have biases. That person started making attributions that were not accurate about having seen you. You understand? So that person misinterpreted your intentions and then mislabeled them. And now when he explains it to people, he may explain it incorrectly because he misinterpreted your intentions.
I'm a neighbor of yours, and I've been a neighbor of yours for, let's say, 10 years.
Right.
Now, I've observed you many, many times.
Is this a hypothetical?
This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
Because I'm not a neighbor of yours.
Right, and you haven't observed me for 10 years.
No, I haven't. That's true.
Okay.
But at any rate, I observe you. You're not exactly an outgoing man. You didn't show up in the neighborhood, knock on everybody's door, and say, hey, my name's so-and-so. Hey, how you doing? I'm your new neighbor. They watch you. You seem real reserved. You don't go out of your way to talk to your neighbors or whatever, and maybe you're perceived as being cold.
Right.
Well, the neighbor on the other side, he's talking to somebody else, and maybe you and your wife were doing primal scream exercises, and the neighbor on the other side heard this, and somebody said, well, you know what, I think he's beating his wife because I keep hearing this woman scream. Now, from that person's perception, now it has nothing to do based in fact or reality or nothing else. But the one guy on the other side of you perceives you as being cold. The other guy says, well, you know, I've heard screaming. I think he beats his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there is that perception, not based on fact.
Right.
But that is a perception.
Right. Now, maybe they did perceive things accurately. Maybe the person did perceive somebody screaming. They perceived all the things you said. Those were facts. What they then did, at the next level of cognition, they misinterpreted what they perceived by applying faulty attributions to those perceptions. You see the subtle difference there?
Yeah, yeah.
So perception is one thing, and a lot of us perceive things accurately. Then we interpret them incorrectly because we have built-in biases or fears or anxiety or we start making assumptions. So our perceptions may very well be accurate, but our interpretations are inaccurate. Our conclusions that we use to base our interpretations then become inaccurate.
Well, and perceptions, if they're spread far and wide enough, those perceptions then become, and this is coming, say, from that neighbor, me being living on the other side of you and the guy that lived on you, their perceptions then become their reality. To them, it becomes fact.
Well, how they interpreted, though, perception is what becomes their reality.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, you know, perception is one thing. Some people just misperceive things. They look at a bush and see a rabbit. Now, somebody else will perceive that bush accurately and see a bush, but now, as they start to think about it, they start to make misattributions about that bush, and they interpret it, and now what they originally perceived isn't even in their thoughts anymore because they've misinterpreted it. And so they actually think they perceive something that they didn't even perceive at the time. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
So interpretation is the next level. That's like the information processing that goes on after we perceive something. And that's where most of the faulty logic, reasoning, and thought processes come in, during the interpretive process rather than during the perceptive process.
I'll make it simple. Garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
Terry in Texas. Thanks for holding, Terry.
Yeah, Bill, you've had your hand on that chin-up bar for a long time. When's your hand going to fall off?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's...
You know what I'm talking
pretty
about?
Pretty soon.
You know what I'm talking about.
I sure do.
It totally went off over my head, but maybe you can fill me in later,
We're
Bill.
Close.
Okay.
If we have time, I'll fill you in even now after this gentleman finishes.
I can't even pretend to think that I can get a grasp on all of this because I've chased down so many different rat holes, particularly in regards to this, you know, this fake monetary system.
Right.
But it's just so much information to because this. The description is being used as far as matrix, and I think maybe I liken it more to being a pinball machine, you know, because as soon as you bounce off one bumper, you stare at it, you synthesize information, you back up, you're trying to absorb it, you bounce on another bumper, and you go down, you know, you stare at that bumper, you look at it, you analyze it, you're shocked by that, and it's just, you know, and so what ends up happening to me is I find that I'm trying to, you know, gather the trends and the players and all the people in this and just trying to get my mind around all of it, and there's just so much there. And I'm wondering with this, and then to add insult to injury, to think about the media is complicit in all of this by their silence.
Right.
About what's been taking place.
Well, worse than silence, they intentionally misrepresent and they conceal the truth and misrepresent what's going on.
Just think about, I mean, how much time I've spent trying to read and study and get my mind around all the people who are involved in all this and how insidious and how evil all this. And it's like there's the number of rabbit holes you go down to, it's just not, you have to have 100 lifetimes go down in all the rabbit holes, but... I was just curious, do you think with this monetary system, again, me trying, like I was saying, trying to get kind of an idea of trends and stuff, what's taking place, that this monetary system is morphing? When I say it's morphing in the sense, have you noticed here recently how there's been all these new, now it's not companies buying companies, but it's private equity firms buying companies? And these mergers like the Blackstone Group and the Carlow Group, and it seems like they have these unlimited sums of funds of money. The one I'm familiar with would be a good analogy would be last year, the Spire Tisch Group. It's a property investment group out of New York. They put a $5.4 billion bid on this the Cooper Union Village Town. It's in Lower East Side, Manhattan, 11,000-unit apartment complex. And their bid came in at $1 billion. There's sort of some hanky-panky that was going on with the bid on this thing. And yet, of course, the people who were involved in the bidding process said, oh, no, you know, nothing happened, although their bid was $1 billion higher than the next lowest bid that came in. And, you know, I started doing some background research and all that stuff, and this Jerry Spire is his name. It's Jerry Spire, and I think it's, I want to say John Tishman. I'm not certain of the other guy's name. They own substantial amounts of real estate. Well, Jerry Spire, when you started investigating his background, it seemed like, and all the analysts said that this bid for this piece of property is way out of proportion as to what it was worth as far as, you know, projecting cash flows and getting your money back. Well, Jerry Spire, you look at, do a little research on him, and he is a board director on the New York Federal Reserve. So now all this huge sums of money that are coming into play where, you know, the monetary system is morphing and these people are buying up these huge corporations, everything's being privatized. You see all of it happening. They just have unlimited sums to drive their
pickup truck to the
Federal Reserve and say, hey, we don't care what this costs.
Right. They don't because when he needs $1 billion, if he's in bed with the government and the Federal Reserve, he just calls up and all they do is transmit 1 billion digits into his account. Now, it didn't cost anybody anything to get that billion. Now they can use that to buy tangible property, to buy tangible wealth. They can use it to buy things.
Well, and it seems weird. I mean, these numbers you've seen here, you look in Forbes 400, everybody's a billionaire, and the numbers of the absolute, what would be even just numbers 10 years ago, the amounts of money that are being banned about.
That's why it's an unsustainable system.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge
sums
of money.
But it's a satanic system. It's evil.
But see, as I'm saying, if it's morphed, as these numbers get huger, they're being able to buy up, because it's all fake money, in essence, they're able to buy up literally everything, because the money is printed out like Xeroxed out as much as they need, and it has no value. But as a result of all this extra money, they're basically able to buy control of everything. There'll be nothing that'll be privately owned.
That's the whole scheme. That's the plan. I mean, what's more profitable than creating money out of nothing?
Nothing.
They've got the greatest profitable company in the world, the Federal Reserve over there, and these central banks that create credit out of nothing and call it money and force it down our throats. We have to swallow it, use it, take it, and as they rob our purchasing power by issuing more and more of it into the system, we continue to lose wealth and lose purchasing power, and we've used our labor for nothing to enrich these sociopathic, elitist globalist bankers.
So, you know, I was reading somewhere they said there was...
I'm going to have to ask you, Terry, to make it quick. I have a lot of callers.
One more point.
Yeah.
I'd heard somewhere that somebody said there was a lag effect as far as, you know, the true cost of these items, because there's so much money that's been pumped into the system. So do you really, in essence, think, you know, we're going out and buying, now it's costing $3 or $4 for a box of cereals, that because of this lag effect, that in reality, if people were really to figure out how much money is really in the system, that box of cereal right now is probably should, in essence, be $10?
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you start to get into hyperinflation. In Zimbabwe, the inflation is so rapid they have to pay their employees at lunch and then again after the day is over. They pay them twice a day because what they paid them at the end of the day is not going to be worth as much as it was at lunch.
Terry, I've got to let you go, my friend.
Hit free fall.
All right, got to let you go. Well, Bill, why do I get the distinct impression this is a continuation of a previous conversation?
Well, it wasn't a conversation. What it was, apparently he attended a seminar where they asked me to speak about money.
Okay.
And I was trying to, this is a pretty good analogy, I think, that I even came up with to help the average person understand what's going on with our money system. What I said was that if you look at the decline curve of all paper currencies, they all have the same shape. They start out and they hold value for a while, and it's a flat curve. And then after a few years, the slope starts to get a little more steep and a little steeper. And then after several more years, the slope gets steeper. And eventually, right at the end, the curve goes parabolic. It goes straight down, and the currency loses all the rest of its purchasing power. Well, every currency has the same shape curve. The only difference is some of them take 10 years to implode. Some of them take 70 years to implode.
Or 100 years.
Or 100 years, yes. Well, like ours, because it's the world's reserve currency. So the currencies that are used within a country's boundaries don't have as long a lifespan. But since we can inflate worldwide, our currency is lasting longer. But what I said was the way to understand a paper currency's decline curve is, suppose I jumped up on a high bar, and I'm hanging there, and I ask you to plot my fatigue curve. Okay, the first minute, it may be fairly flat. I'm hanging on pretty good, right? Then from minute one to minute two, now I'm starting to sweat and feel tired, you know. My muscles are getting tired. Then from minute two to three, now that fatigue curve, the slope is getting real steep and it's starting to drop. And then all of a sudden, at some point when nobody expects it, I just drop off the bar because I can't hang there any longer. Well, that's what happens with the fiat currencies. People think it can hang on forever with purchasing power, and all of a sudden they're surprised when it implodes and it just goes, the value goes to nothing. And that's like when I drop off the bar.
Okay, now I understand the chin on the bar deal.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. If you were to write a treatise, or say that you were to write a book, what would you entitle your book?
Oh, gosh. John, I don't even know. Never thought about writing a book. I know you mentioned that to me before, but I don't know. You got a good title for one?
I don't know. I'm thinking about one, but I already know the author's name, Dr. William Veith. All right. Let's get back to the phones here. Clarence in Oklahoma. Hello, Clarence.
How about John made me do it?
Yeah, John. Hey, I've been a lot of things to a lot of different people, but I don't think I can make you write a book.
Okay.
Clarence in Oklahoma.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
This has been a great program. I mean, I've gotten more. I've gotten both an economics lesson and psychology lesson. And I took both.
That's the pleasure of having a ticked off doctor.
Well, that's it. It's a fantastic program. I was going to say one thing. First thing, the guy about talking about taking the driver's licenses and they forcing in contracts, that's done under color of law.
Right.
Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Under color of law. Also, I can give you another good example of that. I know we're coming up on a break here. I'll try to rush this. When I was in the Air Force, they changed uniform shirts on us back during the Vietnam War. I was over in Germany. They give you a clothing allowance to keep your uniforms up and buy new ones. But they said we had to get these new shirts, but they weren't going to issue them to us. They said, you get a clothing allowance, which didn't cover the cost. I said, they can't make me buy that shirt. Someone said, no, they can't, but they can make you wish you'd bought that shirt.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm coming up on break, so I'll let you guys go.
All right. Clarence, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, if I know we've got some calls there, can I take 1 minute to add one more thing to my high bar analogy?
Well, only after this break, Dr.
Okay.
Beath.
All right.
I am a slave to the atomic clock on the wall.
Okay, I didn't hear the music this time. So.
No, well, you didn't hear it because there it is.
There it is. Okay.
All right, we'll take the break here. Thanks, Clarence, again for your call. I'll try to squeeze. I can tell it's Friday. Roger in Pennsylvania and Mark in Texas. We'll try to get to your calls also on this Friday edition of the National Intel Report, folks. We'll be right back at you.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
What an appropriate song, Sledgehammer. We've been bludgeoned, folks.
Really?
Go ahead, Bill. You wanted to make a point.
I know you got callers, so I'll make it quick. This is the second part of the analogy to help people understand what is going on with this paper money system, paper currency system. Okay, I just said that my fatigue curve hanging on that bar would have the same shape as the decline curve of a fiat currency. Now, suppose I was hanging on that bar, but you were off at a distance, and I had my back to you, and you were asked to plot my fatigue curve based on what you were watching. You wouldn't be able to plot an accurate curve. You wouldn't know where I was on that curve or at what stage of failure I was in or at what stage of decline I was in. So you'd be watching me hanging from a distance, and then all of a sudden I would drop off of it, and that's when you would know, oh, he must have been fatigued because he dropped off. Well, that's what's happening with the masses of people out there looking at what's going on with the dollar. The dollar has a real decline curve occurring, but they're looking out there at the guy hanging on the bar from behind, and they can't see it. They don't know where it is. They're not going to know it until it implodes, and then they're going to know, well, the guy just dropped off the bar, in a sense. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
Okay.
All right. That was
the analogy.
Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark.
You know, the more I study on this stuff, it seems like that the acceptance of the fiat dollar has been perpetuated by the expansion of the retail industry. They further and further removed us from the manufacturing base. Is that making sense?
Let me read you something here real quick that Mark Davis penned. He said, the central banking system is the taproot of modern corporate state, the main root that must be struck at the state to collapse. If the income tax, all business regulations, wealth transfer schemes, and the military-industrial complex were somehow miraculously ended tomorrow while central banking remained, then the state would still have the means to enslave you. The modern corporate state is controlled by a cartel of banks, the elite of the elite. Most people believe it is perfectly normal for the Federal Reserve and its member banks to be granted a license to steal. The central banking system is based on fraud and deception, plain and simple.
Right. To answer this gentleman's question or respond to his statement, the problem isn't retail. The problem is the government coming in and making a legal tender law telling you what you have to accept. Now, that's not free commerce. That's not free market. People should be allowed to accept and pay and accept whatever they want to. And gold and silver coin is one medium, but people should be able to barter. Now, if the government came in tomorrow and said, from now on, you can only pay your taxes in popsicle sticks, and if I offer you popsicle sticks as a retailer, you have to take it. We are making popsicle sticks legal tender. All of a sudden, now everybody would have to go around competing to collect popsicle sticks, and they would have this artificial value because the government came in by fiat and said you have to pay your taxes in popsicle sticks, and you have to accept them if somebody offers them to you. That's the same thing they did with the paper. That's the problem, not retail. Retail is only following the law.
We used to have a scenario where, you know, a person might be a woodmaker that would make a chair. And then another person would, have chickens with eggs. And they would barter, they would actually just exchange their goods.
Right.
Well, what happened now is you allow outsourcing by the retail industry. Am I making sense?
Well, I think you're at the end of the problem rather than back at the source of the problem.
And we're at the end of the program.
What a great hour.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Bye. I appreciate your call. Bill, we've got to do this again real soon.
Anytime, John.
All righty, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
I'll talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for this edition of the National Intel Report. Keep us in your prayers, ladies and gentlemen. This is the network. Real news, real people, real talk. We'll be back with you Monday on another edition of the National Intel Report. Until then, See what you can do about correcting this problem. Think about it over the weekend. We'll see you Monday.